Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When push comes to shove, Tom Brady will play for .. in 2020.
Not the Patriots.
The runaway two best spots are Dallas and Indy.
Tom Brady will remain in the New England Patriots uniform.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Dale Arnold.
The number stuff I don't, get involved in.
Yeah, but that says nothing about Brock Holt.
No, nobody should read anything into that.
Rich Keefe.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Keefe was home naming presidents in his basement drinking craft beer.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
That's disgusting. What the hell is that statement? I mean, come on, just stop talking.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Tom E. Kern will join us next hour. Just for the fun of it, I did one of those quickie Twitter polls this morning.
Oh, there we go.
And the idea here was to try to gauge, at least get an idea about the popularity of the current pro sports teams. Now,
okay. For
all of the Boston Pride fans or the Boston Breakers fans or whoever the other pro teams are, Twitter only allows
uprising?
You four slots. Okay,
you put the Uprising
I did
there?
Not. You're only allowed four slots.
That's a miss.
So I tweeted this out a couple of hours ago. I said, which Boston pro sports team is the most popular right now? And I went out of my way to say I'm listing them in alphabetical order.
Oh, so no bias.
Right.
Got it.
And obviously, Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox.
Okay.
We've had 1,623 votes so far. Patriots, as you could imagine, still far and away the most popular pro sports team. 46.2% of the respondents so far listed Patriots. You can only list one.
Right. Now, do you think, just real quick before you get to the rest of your list,
yep.
In a month from now, if Tom Brady's gone...
Oh, it'll be a lot lower.
Okay.
So, number two, and this probably is more of an indication of who my Twitter followers are, the Bruins are second, 35%, closer than I would have expected, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is the Celtics, 16.8%.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is the Red Sox.
There's not a lot of percent left, I feel like.
Two. I would just like to start
Two.
A cheer. Let's go Red Sox. Let's
2%.
Go Red Sox.
1,623 votes, 2%.
Well,
still pick the Red Sox as their most popular Boston pro sports team.
And I'll tell you what, Dale, that number actually seems high. And I say this with every single one of these Twitter polls, is a lot of people answer them on their phones. And you'll notice that the Red Sox was right below Patriots. A lot of fat fingers out there. This is America, after all. And they probably tried to hit Patriots. They accidentally hit Red Sox. Or there's a couple of people out there. Anytime you do a poll, it could be the most unanimous poll in the world. But people like to play contrarian or people like to be funny. So that's where you're getting those votes from. There's nobody in Boston who their favorite team is the Red Sox right now. I don't think that person exists.
Maybe there is
their favorite team is
older,
the Red Sox.
An older, because we tend to think that it skews a little older. So there's probably some that there. I mean, 2% on my poll here.
Yeah,
as I said, I was actually surprised, and it's probably an indication that I have more hockey fans following me than
and
others.
I'm not saying they're necessarily fourth for all fans, right? Because some people don't like all four sports or whatever else it is. But I have a hard time thinking that the Red Sox are more popular than the Patriots, or one of the winner teams, right? Maybe you really happen to love one of them. And they're both good, by the way. Like, that helps.
Both terrific.
And these things can also be fluid, right? I mean, it doesn't mean you can't bounce back and all of a sudden you're the Red Sox are your favorite again. But right now, with, a month and a half before real games start, they just traded away their best player. The Yankees seem to have just gotten better. I don't know. And the other three options are all good, by the way. It's not like it's four last-place teams or something like that.
Because math is really hard, I appreciate the help of the texter who points out that with 1,623 respondents, 2% is 32 people.
Yeah, that seems real high.
32 of 1,623
32 people.
Have indicated that, they're
I feel like
most
that,
popular pro sports team in Boston.
That would be Tom Warner burner account, John Henry burner account, Sam Kennedy Heim Bloom, and maybe some of those social media influencers that they got to, Dale. Just in time. Not enough of them, evidently.
Well, they haven't really gotten their work done yet. They're still working on.
No, I know. They're getting there. They're getting all around it. It's going to be a long season for the Red Sox and for Major League Baseball. Where, like, both are in sort of a weird spot right now.
Well, and think of this. It's been, you know, arguably one of the worst off seasons in recent Red Sox memory. You finished horribly last year. You know, you're out of the playoffs the year after winning the World Series. You end up parting ways with your wildly popular manager.
Mm-hmm. And who still hasn't been punished, by the way.
No. That's still coming. Well, that'll be on my list here in a minute.
Okay.
You trade away, far and away, the most popular franchise player you've had in recent memory in Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you parted ways with another very popular, although not as important player as Mookie, in Brock Holt. And oh, by the way, the whole report about how much you cheated or didn't cheat hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, right. So that's going to be kicking the team while they're down, right? Because you've moved past that only in the sense that you know the players aren't going to be punished, and they already got rid of Cora, and Dave Dombrowski's gone anyway. So even if he was punished for this, it doesn't really matter. And so after a quote manager search, they ended up just promoting from within.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, because this investigation hasn't concluded, what if Ron Renneke, who's only an interim manager right now, what if he's found to have been a part of the cheating in 18? Then don't you have to go search again? Don't you have to start that search over again? Isn't there still a possibility of that?
And it's obvious to me, based on, you know, just common sense here, that the Red Sox became convinced, as somebody was telling people like Lou Maloney and Dan Roach and others, don't worry, there's not going to be anything to see here. And so they gave Renneke the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the commissioner out of nowhere in the last couple of days says there have been some developments in the Red Sox investigation.
Yikes.
We've had to go back and re-interview some people. Are the Red Sox now going, really? You told us there was nothing. We gave him the job.
Right. I mean, I think they do have to wait, and they do have to be a little bit concerned about what's going on. And that's why I was waiting for that whole thing. Like, unless they were certain what was going to happen, why either hire Renneke at the time or not just get somebody fresh? Just bring in somebody else. And then guess what? Renneke can be the bench coach or not, right? Like him and Fabulous and some of the other guys that are on the staff, either they're going to be proven to be cheaters, just like the Astros were, and then I think you have to clean house, or they weren't, and then they can all stay employed, if that's even the guys that you want running your team.
I was convinced that based on things like Lou and Dan Roach and others were saying, doesn't look like there's anything here. It's not as bad as the Houston report. Then I thought, okay, you suspend Alex Cora for a year. Because that's what A.J. Hinch got. That's what Jeff Luhnow got. You suspend him for a year. And then Ron Renneke is actually the interim manager, which is his title
for one year.
And then Alex Cora comes back after the season.
Now, do you believe Heim Bloom when he said last week to the Greg Hill show that there's been no discussions on bringing Alex Cora back? Because I don't think you can say that you would, because you literally parted ways.
I do understand that he can't say those words.
So that's why, and I'm not even calling him a liar. I'm just saying, do you believe him? Because I don't. Because I don't think we know Ron Renneke is not the long-term fix for manager, right? He's the interim manager.
He's called the interim manager. But he can apply for the full-time job.
I mean, even if they remove the interim tag, how long is that going to, what's the shelf life on Ron Renneke as Boston Red Sox manager?
Maybe this year.
Maybe this year. So I don't think he's telling the truth when he says we haven't even brought up the idea of Alex Cora. Because if they're all thinking that the Red Sox didn't do anything wrong, Cora's not going to get banned for life. He may not even get banned for 2 years if it was just an isolated Houston Astros incident. And I also think if you're Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, the stiffer the punishments are, the more you're telling everybody how important this was and how significant it impacted the games. Guys don't get lifetime bans or 2 year suspensions if it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, the whole idea about, you know, when Jim Crane said, you know, it didn't have an impact on the game. Well, I'm not saying it didn't have an impact.
How about these guys? By the way, the Houston Astros, and I don't know how much you and Andy hit on this yesterday, but they need to get into a group meeting again. They are all over the map. Jose Altuve is apologizing at gunpoint, and then Carlos Correa is saying Jose Altuve didn't do anything, and then he's saying you got to know what you're saying before you say it, even though your guy Altuve apologized for it. Now there's reports like Altuve, you know, they're finding all these different pictures of Altuve, right? Because there's obviously the one where he didn't want them to rip his jersey. But then there's other ones where he got like a tattoo midway through the season. Oh, and it's getting out of hand with these guys. I believe anything, by the way. The buzzers is on board. Obviously, we know about the trash cans. I think they were doing whatever they possibly could. But do you think it does seem like more and more players from other teams are getting to be pretty outspoken about this? Which makes you think either they're really good liars or they weren't doing this. Like, yeah, I wonder how much of a Mike Trout thing
and come out and as you're as adamant as you are, you better be sure that there's nobody doing anything in your clubhouse.
That's what I'm saying. Like that, these guys have to be sure, or they're just crazy. Like Cody Bellinger, Mike Trout, I think it was Chris Bryant. There's been a bunch of guys that have come out flat out and said like what an advantage it is, and oh, they would love to have the pitches, and blah 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 blah. And you know, Cody Bellinger said that not only did the Astros steal a World Series from the Dodgers, but Jose Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge. I mean, they're laying it on real thick with the Astros. So these other teams all better hope that nothing comes back on their end.
Want some news?
Dale, of course I want some news. What do I look like? Somebody who doesn't want news?
Wait till I finish. You might change your mind.
What is it? Is it bad news?
No, it's just...
Well, what do you mean then?
This is out of the White House.
No, I'm not interested.
You'll get a kick out of this.
Okay.
So apparently, the president of the United States, Caitlin Collins, who covers the White House for CNN, said, and I'm quoting her tweet, "The White House suddenly calls reporters to the stakeout to announce President Trump has signed an executive order granting clemency for Eddie DeBartolo Jr., the former owner of the 49ers.
Well, I'm glad.
So
that is important news, Dale. I'm glad we got to that.
I mean,
thank you.
You think that's sort of out of nowhere?
I don't know.
D-.
Yeah. as far as news is concerned, D-.
No, he's got clemency now. It's okay.
Yeah, all right. So what does that get us?
I don't know. He was guilty of a felony and fined $1 million and put on 2 years probation. But now, he's all right now.
Did you guys, yesterday on President's Day, rank all the presidents of all time? And if so, where did Trump rank? Did you guys do that?
We didn't, and that's why we didn't.
Why not?
He's somewhere in the mix.
You know who's actually dead last, and it pains me to say this as a...
if you say Grover Cleveland, all bets are off.
It's actually Franklin Pierce. The only guy from the state of New Hampshire to be president.
And who went to Bowdoin.
He was a trash president, though. Everything you read about him, one of the worst.
Who is the dude who died in the bathtub after like a month?
William Henry Harrison only lasted 30 days because he did his acceptance speech in the rain and got pneumonia, which Chris Sale has and can't pitch opening day. See how it all connects? Presidents, starting pitchers, baseball, America's passports.
That's how it all connects?
The whole thing. Yeah, William Henry Harrison was president for like 30 or 40 days. Because this idiot didn't have an umbrella. Sorry, idiot. Maybe there's some of his family listening. But he got rained on, did the whole speech for like 2 hours, and was like, look at me, I'm president.
Yeah, you might have wanted to shorten it up a little bit, huh?
Got so sick and died 30 to 40 days later. I remember in eighth grade, we had to do a project on a president. And you had to pick any president, and you had to write a whole paper on him. So being the smart guy that I was, I'm like, I'm going to pick the guy that was only in office for a month, because how much can you possibly write about? But that kind of backfired because all the papers had to be the same length anyway, so it really didn't
work. And then you had to make up stuff because there wasn't enough stuff to work with.
I'm like, he was a tough but stubborn man who would give speeches in the rain. But yeah, you know, presidents, it's a good topic for yesterday. Well, we've moved past that, though.
Right. And the only reason I brought it up today was simply because when was the last time you thought of Eddie DeBartolo Jr.?
Well, Dale, I don't think I ever have.
And was there a clamoring in San Francisco for granting clemency to him? I mean, didn't that sort of come out of nowhere?
That was more underground.
It was.
There was an underground kind of feeling about
very
that.
Very underground. Yep. I hadn't even heard of
it. Groundswell, even.
I mean, out of nowhere, and it's funny because she doesn't cover sports, obviously. Caitlin Collins, she just tweets out, you know, so they call us all over. And I could almost see, you know, as they make the announcement that the president has granted clemency, all of the news types going, who?
Yeah, what? Excuse me?
Actually, she's a big Alabama football fan. She probably does know who Eddie DeBartolo Jr. is.
Maybe she does. All right. Well, that's good news.
By the way, a texter says Taft got stuck in a bathtub, not died.
Oh, he got stuck.
He was a large man.
I think that's worse.
Yeah,
what's
that is
more embarrassing?
Worse. The stain on
what,
his
you'd rather die?
Yeah, but he got to live, though.
Yeah. Live to tell the tale of getting stuck in a bathtub.
You have to be pretty big to get stuck in a bathtub.
It was a small bathtub, Shime.
I'm a big guy, and yeah. I've never even come close to getting stuck in a bathtub.
You're the president. You can't get a bathtub that's big enough for you?
No, back then they really didn't have a
like
lot of
like, he should
stuff
have had a jacuzzi tub.
Talls and
I don't
fats
think they had jacuzzi tubs back then, Shime.
They might have.
Get them like a kiddie pool-sized tub.
I wonder what they'd have to do to get the bubbles to blow around in Shime's jacuzzi tub before the advent of electricity! Yes.
He just has to eat a lot of broccoli first. So there was
beans. I prefer beans.
Beans. Okay. Yeah, our guy William Henry Harrison was sworn in March 4th, died April 4th. Tough run there. Tough run in the early 1840s. Some would probably think that John Tyler, his vice president, maybe poisoned him. That's not true.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, I mean, back then there was a lot of poison going around. But that wasn't true. And this guy,
poison in small bathtubs.
That's it. That's it. And smallpox. That's sort of that runs.
You ever wonder how did they get the fat guy out of the tub?
A ton
like
of
some butter.
Break the tub.
A ton of butter. That's all the butter you can handle.
Pop.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you probably have to break the tub and like with a hammer, be my guess.
Oh, that'd be awful, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Sorry, we gotta get a new tub for the president.
Nice ice pick to crack it open.
Couldn't
like you're sculpting something.
Could you just soap up the sides enough though and you kind of just squeeze out like
apparently not.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how did he get stuck in the first place? If it's all sudsy, then how's he getting stuck?
I don't know.
Maybe clearly he wasn't using soap.
I think some of these stories.
Or water, apparently.
Yeah, I think some of these stories kind of take on a life of their own. I wonder if it's slightly exaggerated. Maybe he didn't really get stuck. He just, like, fell out of it or something. That would be my guess.
All stuff valid to be concerned about. And by the way, all of these bad presidents you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, guys who died within, you know, 40 days of taking office.
Yeah,
all of that.
Yeah.
Even fat ones who got stuck in their bathtubs. Well, all would be preferable to Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Manfred doesn't seem like he's doing a great job right now. He's not leading baseball in the proper direction.
It's just horrible.
But, Dale, good news we can sell you for baseball fans this year. As soon as a reliever enters the game, he needs to throw to three hitters before
or
he can come out.
Inning. Yeah. Whichever comes first.
Yes. So that's the good news. Game's fixed. It's like, why don't you figure out a way to make sure that the teams don't know what pitch is coming? How about you try that first?
How about if you make sure your World Series champion isn't cheating?
Let's try to make sure everything's on the up.
By the
up
way,
first.
Perhaps two of your last three World Series champions are cheating. I mean, I don't know about the Nationals. I don't have any indication.
But what planet is Carlos Correa on? If he's going to go up there and finger wag after all the apologies and say that they weren't cheating. It's like, no, you guys just said that you were a day before. Your owner said that you guys were. And now you're saying that they weren't?
Oh,
I'm
no, because the one reporter asked Jim Crane, did you cheat? And he hemmed and hawed and said, well, we broke the rules.
Yeah, well,
he wouldn't use the word because I have a feeling that crisis management team that the Astros hired.
Yeah. They should
fresh off their Exxon Valdez gig that they had.
No, it's not great. It was not very good. Do you think that Astros will be good this year, or do you think this will affect them? They have a ton of talent, or at least so I think.
There's a video on Twitter today of a bunch of guys, Altuve and a bunch of them, taking batting practice at spring training. And a fan banging a garbage can in the background.
Oh, you're going to get that the time.
They're
going to be a running joke.
They are going to be tortured.
Yeah.
Maybe not at home so much, but.
No, they won't. But, I mean, everywhere they go, I mean, 81 games, they're going to be just hearing it. Just like with some of those steroid guys would play. Remember, weren't people throwing, like, fake needles at, like, Bonds and, like, all that nonsense? But now you have a whole team of it. So there's going to be big prop video cameras.
See, I had a plan yesterday. I ran it by Andy Hart.
Yeah.
Because supposedly Dave Martinez, the manager of the Nationals, said they kind of knew what the Astros were doing. And they had made, you know, plans before the series. Let's make sure now we've got our ducks in a row here. Let's make sure. If you knew what they were doing, why wouldn't you just get a trash can in your own hallway and bang the crap out of it? Every single pitch, bang that trash can.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that the guy at the plate's going, all right, everybody, stop.
That's a good point. You're just very confused.
So why don't you just get a trash can?
Yeah.
Bang the crap out of it.
But can't you tell which direction it's coming from? Maybe not. I think each guy would be a little bit different, I suppose.
I do think that the on-base percentage numbers for many of the Astros could be very high this year.
I think they're going to
get
plunked.
Because they're going to go on base a lot.
I think they should, too. If I was a pitcher on another team, how do you not? How do you not gas it at those guys whenever you get a chance? And if the league protects them more than everybody else, that is insane.
Well, Chris Sale talked about, you know, game one of the ALDS where the Astros just knocked his you-know-what in the dirt in that game.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who would throw at you for suggesting that he shouldn't throw at you.
Right.
And now he's sitting there. He's already talked about, you know, you wonder about what was going on.
Well, put it this way. If a hitter at any level, Dale, at any level, if a hitter dug into the box and then looked down at what the catcher's signs were,
you would drill him.
Every single time. And now you're playing a whole team that knew what pitches were coming. And they were essentially doing that. And, you know, the guy got to look forward because he heard the trash can, or the guy in second was doing something, or the guy in first was doing something, or whatever. So you're playing a whole team of that. So, yeah, you better believe that most teams are going to have pitchers that are going to be buzzing it at these guys.
And the first time, you know, Chris Sale plunks a guy and gets run by the umpire.
Awful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this will probably, not that anybody ever gets hurt in the base brawls when that happens, but
they're usually not.
They aren't great, but somebody's going to get upset about it, and the Astros are probably going to be dealing with that all year. So just from watching from afar, it'll be interesting to see just how other teams treat them.
They're really good. You know, they're not the defending World Series champions, but they won it a couple of years ago. They played in it last year. They're really good, but they've got a new manager because they had to fire theirs. Mm-hmm. And the distraction factor for them. Yesterday, Yoannis Cespedes was at Mets spring training, and some of the reporters asked if they could speak to him. He said, no, not today, and not this year.
What?
He said, excuse me? I'm not going to speak to you this year.
Yeah, it's taking the year off.
Which, by the way, is against the rules.
I can't do it.
No. Rob Manfred's got his finger on the pulse of this thing.
Always.
So at some point, the Astros are going to try to shut it down. Yeah, they're going to get sick of every single visiting ballpark they go to, every single visiting media horde.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did you guys get over the cheating thing yet? And at some point, they're all going to say, we're not talking. We're done. It's going to be great.
It is. It is. Now, the question is, in another week or two, once the Red Sox investigation is over, are they going to get the same treatment? Or is this just going to be an Astros thing?
It'll depend on whether or not Rob Manfred covers it up.
Right.
Because most of us think, based on the Evan Drellick piece, they were doing something.
They did something.
And if at the end of this whole thing, well, sorry, we got nothing here, nothing to see here,
yeah.
I think most people aren't going to believe it now anyway.
I know I won't, yeah. No, that's true. I mean, they're in a tough spot for a lot of people.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will join us at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keith.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
So the NBA trade deadline came and went around here with nothing being done by Danny Ainge. Not for lack of trying, I'm sure.
He said there were a lot of conversations going on
and, you know, a lot of talk, but they ultimately decided that they weren't going to make a move.
Right.
I would say the chances of the NHL trade deadline passing Monday with a similar situation for the Bruins is next to none.
They always make a move. Yeah, they always do.
Now, maybe before Monday, by the way.
Yeah, sometimes it happens even like a week before or right now, right? Because we're less than a week away. It's on Monday, and it feels like every single year, whether the Bruins are at the top of the standings or trailing a team like Tampa or wherever they are, they do something. Now, sometimes it's a major move. They give up a first-round pick. Other times it's really a tinker. It's like a depth piece on defense or whatever. But this is a year where they are certainly one of the contenders to win the whole thing. But they could use a little bit of help if it's out there.
But I'll give you two names to look for between now and Monday. Two names that I think may well be on Don Sweeney's radar. Although I will say this, the price tag is really high. Andy Green's like a 36-year-old guy from the New Jersey Devils, captain of the team, and the price that the Islanders paid to bring him over was really high. The price for Tyler Toffoli last night was really high. But I'll give you a couple of names that you'll see bandied about perhaps out there. One, and it's kind of sad if you see the video last night, he in effect said goodbye. Brendan Dillon, defenseman for the San Jose Sharks. He was interviewed last night post-game. He got emotional and started crying when he talked about the possibility
he's not coming back.
That he doesn't think he's going to be with the Sharks long-term.
You can't have a cry goodbye without there being a goodbye.
Exactly.
We all know that.
So Brendan Dillon is a name that I think Bruins fans should keep an eye on.
What would it take roughly to get him, you think?
Matt Grizzlick and a draft pick. I'm using that as an example.
Okay. I mean, he's a big, you're upgrading size pretty significantly, and so is that something that makes them better?
Yep.
Okay. Then I'm all in favor of
another name that I've heard out there from the Columbus Blue Jackets is Josh Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, decent size. You would think a top six forward type position.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like him. And ultimately what happens is Sweeney also will make a deal for somebody. You'll go, how many people here were all cranked up about Marcus Johansson last year?
Oh, yeah.
And he ended up being critical.
Great. He was really good last year. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a couple
guys. In fact, there's word that Buffalo would make Marcus Johansson available.
Did you bring him back?
Well, I don't know.
He's got a lot more money, right?
He's making a lot more money now.
And then Josh Anderson, does he make a lot of money? Or would he be a guy that they'd be able to? Because they have some flexibility, don't they?
Yeah.
Like they don't, so it's not like...
Oh, yeah. They've got some money. Sweeney has managed the cap efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a good job with it. I mean, if you wanted to go really nuts, if you were a Bruins fan, drive yourself crazy with this one.
Okay.
If you don't... This is the Mookie Betts aspect, okay?
Yep.
If you don't think you can sign Torrey Krug at the end of this season when he's an unrestricted free agent, if you think he's going to price himself out of the marketplace... Would you consider trading him at the trade deadline?
So that was going to be my question to you. I would answer by saying no. I would not trade Torrey Krug. And even if you can't bring him back, because even if he ends up making $7, $8 million a year annually, I think that this team right now is one of a handful of teams that could win the cup and almost consider it like Krug being a rental piece. And if you didn't have him on the team, you bring him in here and he's one of your top power play guys. I think he's so important to them.
I agree with you, but I'll say this. He'd be a very valuable trade chip. I mean, his skill set is really good.
Right.
You know, puck moving defenseman, quarterback on the power play.
But, I mean,
now if you trade him
to a team in the East.
See, that's the thing. If you think you're one of the contenders for a cup here, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You were in the seventh game of the Cup Finals a year ago. You're in first place in the NHL today. Why wouldn't you think that? Then I don't want to trade him to a team that can maybe knock me off in the playoffs.
I wouldn't want to do that at all. I would absolutely keep him. They seem to be a very close team, so I don't want to take anybody away from the core. And if he happens to go somewhere else next year, I don't think it's like, oh, my God, how could you let him walk? It's not the same as Mookie Betts. As good as Krug is, you use him for this run. He's also not your best player. He's good, and his skill set, and what he does well, he does very well. But it's not like you're trading away Brad Marchand or David Pastrnak. I mean, essentially trading away David Pastrnak would be like Mookie Betts or whatever. So they're not doing that. I would absolutely keep Krug. I guess the argument against it would be, hey, maybe come playoff time, there aren't as many power plays, and then his value isn't as high. Like, he's not a top pair defenseman, and if you're playing a lot of 5-on-5, his value goes down. But still, between now and then, and when we had Raycroft in here last week, we're talking about, you know, there are still power plays in the playoffs. It's not like it was years ago where they just swallowed the whistles and there aren't any, and now a guy that is a power play specialist isn't as valuable. So I'm keeping Krug the whole time, and then if you can get a deal in the offseason, great.
I'm with
and
you, by
not,
the way. I wouldn't trade him either.
Good.
But I'm just asking, do you think about it if you're Don Sweeney, given the fact that, now that's assuming you think he is so far outside of what you can pay.
Yeah.
That he's going to be gone at the end of the season. I would not trade him because, as you point out, you think you're a cup contender. Anybody you trade him to would be an improved contender.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that because not only does he help the other team, but I think it makes you worse. And then, you know, as far as are you going to have home ice or where are you going to be? Like regular season wise, I would hang on to him for that. And there's still other moves to make. Like you mentioned, Mac Rizlik's a guy you could trade away. Doesn't have the same value, but has some value. He's an NHL defenseman. You have a first round pick, and I don't know. I know that Sweeney probably doesn't want to trade another first round pick, but it's going to be a really late round pick.
Yeah.
So
maybe the latest.
The way things are going, you never know. It could be 30th or 31st. So I would have no problem trading something like that rather than one of your more important pieces on a team that right now looks really, really good.
What I don't think you'll see Don Sweeney do is trade away a first round pick.
Okay.
I can tell you when he dealt the first round pick to bring Rick Nash in. And by the way, nobody blames him for the fact that Rick Nash got concussed.
I liked it at the time.
Most people did, yeah. And got concussed to such a degree that his career was over. So no one can foresee that.
No.
But I can tell you that for the draft that year when Sweeney had to sit out the first round, he hated it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can understand that. But then again, this is also a team that had three first-round picks right smack in the middle of the draft, like top half of the draft, bottom of the top half, but still... And they have really one player to show from it, you know. So I mean, it's no sure thing, especially when you're drafting outside of the top five, top ten. So if you're going to make your team better, because how many more kicks at the can do you think this team has? Again, specifically guys like Chara and Bergeron and Krejci and maybe even Tuca. Like Pastrnak obviously has a really bright future, but and so does a guy like McAvoy. But a lot of their core pieces. I don't know how many more you can guarantee after this. So if you have to trade a first round pick, I am in favor of it.
Yeah, I'm just telling him.
You don't think he wants to?
My gut feeling is I don't think he's going near it.
I just if there's a guy that they really want, I don't know who that would be. But if there's a guy that they really want and that ends up being the asking price and they don't get it done because of that, I'd be upset. Because I'd say, all right, so that guy, so what, the next Trent Frederick you're going to have, and you're not going to have whatever rental piece that might push you over the top? Because that's what we're talking about.
I think the counter argument would be, the next David Pastrnak, who you deal away because you dealt away that first round pick, but which again, kill you.
But they're right there, and that guy could be the difference, right? That guy could be the difference to push you over the top, and you could win the cup, and at that point... take all the first round picks.
I almost wonder if the Nash injury would scare him away. Again, nobody criticized him, not that I know of, when he made the move. Everybody was in favor of it. The Bruins got what was considered the best draft, the best trade acquisition at the deadline. I mean, everybody said, this is great, and then the next thing you know, his career's over.
Is there anybody that is a huge name that could move, and whether he's linked to the Bruins or not, that could sort of... sway the power in the Eastern Conference? Is there a guy out there? Because it sounds like there's a lot of good players available.
I haven't heard any big name.
Yeah, that's what I mean either.
Technically, I guess I'd change it a little bit. I'd say this: a word out of Arizona is that they might end up trading Taylor Hall again. I wouldn't go get him. And Andrew Raycroft said the same thing because he's going to want $10-11 million a year.
But if you could use him as a rental, you don't think that would be worth it?
You'd have to give up more than a first round pick to get Taylor Hall.
Even though he's kind of like, he seems like such a
soft
dart throw. No, I mean, I was even going to say that part of it. Just sort of, the skill's in there, but are you going to get it? Like, it just, I don't know.
The Taylor Hall, who was the MVP of the league.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, you'd give up anything to get that guy, even for a rental.
But I don't know if they're even trading in a position of power. First of all, they just got him. And it's not like he's lighting the league on fire. Like, there's a lot of skill in there. But no, I wouldn't want to commit to him long term. But if you think you could throw him, he's a top six forward for sure. Because that's what I'm really interested in. It seems like they've been looking for a guy to play with Krejci now for years. And is this the deadline where they get him? Or is it just another body to sort of mix and match between the second and third line and kind of up and down and try to find the right fit? That's what it seems maybe more likely.
Although with DeBrusk now, and what they've done is put Kuhlman on that right wing with Krejci and DeBrusk.
Yeah.
Krejci has been jumping here for the last month or so. I think he likes it a lot. I think he likes how it feels right now. The fact that Charlie Coyle has started to really come to life, which means you've now got a legitimate third line going.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good. So maybe it is just another kind of like a bigger body is could be what they need. You know, because
which is why Brendan Dillon is the guy who's got great size back on the blue
line. That was the one complaint that we really had about this team was earlier in the year, where do they really defend themselves? Do they stick up for teammates, or do they kind of look for the next guy to do it? And like they weren't maybe as physically imposing, and not that they need to go back to just a whole bunch of bruisers because that's not the way the league is, but they could use somebody else, especially if. And I wouldn't predict a rematch of the Stanley Cup final, but God, you know, if it did happen and you're taking on the Blues again, you're gonna need another big body.
Brendan Dillon is 6'4", 225.
That's what I'm saying. That's a guy that you'd feel better going up against a matchup like a team like the Blues, you'd feel a lot better.
It is a legitimate question mark that you'd have if you're a Bruins fan, because you saw it happen last year in the Stanley Cup final, whether you can afford to go back into the playoffs again with 2 5'9" defensemen.
I know.
Now, one of those 5'9" defensemen is the quarterback on your power play, the best puck-moving defenseman you have. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But can you afford, because it was when Matt Grizzly got crushed by the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup final, that the wheels started to fall off the wagon.
Yeah, I know. Because I like both players individually. You're talking about Krug
so
and Grizzly, but you're right, on the same team, certain teams can take advantage of that. Other teams, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can go in, you
the
can
Blues
win a series.
Could.
And the Blues did.
Yeah. The Washington Capitals can.
Right.
And to give you an example, before you could get out of the East, you're probably going to have to, you know, face those guys.
And that's,
Tampa Bay could.
And that's another whole thing kind of hanging over this season to me is last year, somebody else beat Tampa. Somebody else beat Washington.
Yep.
Somebody else beat. Go down the line. You didn't really have to face anybody. You took care of business in the first round against a talented Toronto team. And then you got the benefit of Columbus and Carolina, which won't happen. There might be a upset this year, but the fact that there's going to be like 5 like a year ago, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get to face Columbus.
I don't think so. I don't think Carolina is going to be waiting for you in the conference finals.
Yeah,
this year.
Probably not.
No, I don't have that feeling.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll turn our attention to football at the top of the hour. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So we gave a little love to the Bruins a moment ago. Let's turn our attention to the Celtics, who will be coming out of the All-Star break here very soon. And most people, I think, would say that they've got an uphill climb to get out of the East with the Milwaukee Bucks staring them in the face, but can they get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think they definitely can, and right now they're in third, so they would have to play in Toronto, which is not an easy place to play. And even without Kawhi Leonard, Toronto's been really, really good this year. They've been sort of, I guess you'd call them a surprise, because I think most people kind of wrote them off.
I'm shocked.
Siakam is really good, and they were deep last year, but you removed the best player on the team, one of the best players in the entire league. They just had, a 15-game winning streak snapped right before the All-Star break. So they're rolling. That would be a really tough series, but I think a toss-up series. And if you see Jason Tatum playing the way he did those last couple of games, and with Kemba Walker's ability late in games, the all-around game that Jaylen Brown has showed, Gordon Hayward chipping in with Smart, and then the big guys have been somewhat productive, they're going to be a really tough out.
Yep.
I think it's such a toss-up, and I know that the Bucks are having like a historic regular season. I really still would have a hard time putting all my money on them to make it to the finals just because they haven't done it yet. And I love Giannis. Maybe he's the best player in the NBA. But he hasn't made the finals yet.
I think he is right
yet.
Now, don't you?
Could be. Yeah, I still think when healthy Kawhi Leonard, I don't know if I could take anybody over Leonard, but it's a toss-up,
sure.
Really. And I'm hoping that Giannis ends up having a better career than LeBron. I was in that camp last year saying if he can win 3 finals when you throw in his stats and the MVPs that are going to come his way, he might be closer to LeBron than not. But he has to get to the finals this year. The East has opened up. Obviously, LeBron left a year ago. Kawhi Leonard was here for a year, then gone. So Giannis has. There's going to be a ton of pressure on the Bucks and Giannis to win. But I wonder if something's missing. Like, they're a deep team, but if a team slows down Giannis at all, is Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe going to beat everybody? Because you look at some of the great teams of the past. If somebody slowed down Shaq, you had Kobe. If somebody slowed down Jordan, which they never did, but if they did, you had Pippen. And so many teams. Like, I don't know if the Bucks have that.
Here's the problem I see if the Celtics did get to an Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. If they got that far, Milwaukee's become the best rim defensive team maybe in the NBA, but at least in the East. I mean,
they are
so good at rim defense.
Oh, you're not getting
in
there.
And you don't have anybody as it is.
No, and I think we had Brian Windhorst on a week ago, and he brought up a good point about how the Bucks right now are basically just making you shoot a bunch of threes, which
is a Celtic strength.
I was going to say, which the Celtics can do, but in a seven-game series, can they win that way? They were talking about one of the games that the Bucks lost, and they've only lost eight all year. And like one or two of them that they lost, the opponent, I think the Nuggets beat them once, and whatever the other team was that Windhorst mentioned, they set like a franchise record for threes. So they sort of forced them into that, but the Celtics have lineups where all five guys on the floor can and will make threes. So if they just get hot for a series, it's a possibility. But again, you know, winning four times that way could be tough. Plus the whole thing of trying to defend Giannis. I mean, that is no simple task. No team has really been able to figure that out. But the Celtics might have the personnel to be able to pull off an upset like that. Like I would like the Celtics' chances against the Bucks more than I would like, say, the Miami Heat's chances against the Bucks.
Yeah, I feel like they've got it. I thought they had to get somebody bigger to help them.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No.
And the fact that they didn't, I think, is going to make it very hard for them to get out of the East.
Still waiting to see what the buyout market ends up being like. I wonder if any of these veteran guys become available or anything like that. Or is this just going to be the team? And this is really kind of glass half full, but I think there are still some people that are hoping that the Time Lord comes back and gives you some minutes. I mean, I don't know if that's really what you want to be banking on. But
I'd almost rather bank on Taco than. Yeah. And by the way, I'm being facetious. I'm just saying. I mean,
he was good in the dunk contest. You see, Taco.
He sort of cheated a little.
He's tall.
Well, he's tall, but
he ducked.
And he kind
of. Yeah, but he jumped over him. Aaron Gordon jumped over him.
Well, he didn't. He sort of kinda leapfrogged him.
Yeah.
So it was more of a leapfrog
thing. Yeah. I still think he should have won.
He got screwed.
Okay, good. We can at least. We agree on that.
And by the way, Common actually admitted. It's rigged. We thought it was going to be a tie.
Well, they are.
I mean, it's like.
So now you're admitting. I don't know what's worse. You're just bad judges or you guys can't do simple math?
They apparently cannot.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty. But no, I mean, I think the Celtics, I think it's a 4.5-5 team race in the Eastern Conference, and they're right in there.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us in studio for the next hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.